Tomorrow evening, I have the pleasure, Paul and I, of being with our session for their fourth Monday meeting of the month. And tomorrow night, we will enjoy hearing the faith statements of our new elders and deacons as they are examined by the session. And pending that examination tomorrow night, our new officers will be installed on March the 19th. And so we look forward to tomorrow night and hearing their statements of faith and how God has been with them in their journey. The scripture for this morning, first the sermon title, for those who are listening online and watching, is The Testing of Jesus. The scripture reading comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It is the lectionary reading for the first Sunday of Lent. And you will recognize this as the temptation of Jesus or the testing of Jesus. Matthew 4, the first 11 verses. Now let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil departed and left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word, and to his name be all glory and praise. Amen. Let us pray. O loving and mysterious God, as we come before you in this hour, startle us today with the words we have just read. May they bring us to a deeper inward faith and a greater outward faithfulness. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I read a book review not long ago about what one author thinks the Christian church will be like in the future, what he thinks it should change now and be like. The book suggests that almost everything about the church as we know it should be dismantled and thrown out. Totally new music, scrap worship, no handbells, no robes for ministers or choirs, no ministers or choirs for that matter, no organ, piano, keyboard, no more church buildings. It recommends the park as a place to meet. Now, you would not be surprised to learn of me that I did not order the book. But according to the book, at least the review, we only need to hang on to two things, just two: Jesus and the Bible. That's what the review said. Well, note with me this morning that in our reading from Matthew's gospel about Jesus being tested in the wilderness, Jesus certainly hangs on to the Bible. After his baptism, Jesus retreated into the Judean desert, and there he's tested again and again and again. And he's tested by the devil. In the original Greek language of the New Testament, his name, devil, in the Greek is Diabolos. That name, it's packed with meaning. In one name or another, the devil is mentioned some 6 times in the span of the 11 verses that we read this morning. That's a lot. The name Diabolos, it literally means something like this. And I like this. This is a good definition. The one who throws everything all over the place. Diabolos tempts Jesus with 3 things. And each temptation is really about the power, about power. And the temptation for Jesus to use power in exactly the way Jesus was called not to use power. First, for example, Diabolos suggests manipulative power. To get to political office, some people lie and buy a lot of votes with stones disguised as bread. That's manipulative power. Next, the devil suggests miraculous power. You can really gain a lot of popularity if you throw yourself off of this pinnacle into the arms of the waiting angels. And lastly, note that the devil offers, again, political power. Follow me, worship me, and you can have all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus resisted those tests. And he resisted the same way 3 times. How does he resist in the same way? Well, he remembers the scriptures. That's how he resists. He remembers 3 short passages, all that come, by the way, from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And here they are. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Number 2, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. And number 3, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You see, Jesus resists by recalling sacred and holy words that he knew like the back of his hand. I like what the Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann said about this particular passage in his commentary. He wrote, he had the book of Deuteronomy with him. He had his Bible with him. He had the whole deep resources of faith, memories that are old and trusted and reliable. He was not alone out there, but in the company of many ancient, faithful, trusted voices who told him he wasn't alone and who he was. Here's something I need to share with you about the devil. I know, and many of you know, that there is a malevolent evil force rumbling about life, and it's roaming the world seeking to attack us. Forever throwing everything all over the place and creating chaos. I have personally encountered and I have witnessed Diabolos at work on a number of occasions, and many of you may have as well. He, this tempter and tester of our Lord, as Matthew's gospel records, he always seeks to confuse us. He seeks to confuse you and me, making life, as our prayer of confession mentioned this morning, like a jumbled mess. The devil wants to confuse us. He wants to confuse us about what really matters in life. He wants to confuse you and me about who we are called to be and what we are called to do as God's people. He calls us how to use power in appropriate ways. And this tempter, this diabolos, would entice us down paths that seem alluring at the moment, but they are paths that do not lead often to a full life or a joyous life full of integrity. And so, when you're tempted to take the easy way, a shortcut, tempted with trickery, or tempted with doing downright wrong, then we, like Jesus, we too can reach into the Scriptures, into that wellspring of our tradition. If you reach into that wellspring, here's what you'll find. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Let your love be genuine, and hate what is evil. Seek first the kingdom of God. Love one another. You shall not steal. Hold fast to that which is good. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Be kind to one another. That's just a few. And when we reach into the Scriptures, the words we hear every week in church or the words we hear in some Bible study or in discussion with someone, the chapter we read when we get up in the morning or when we go to bed at night, whenever we open the Bible, we need to clearly understand what this thing the Bible is and what it isn't. We even name the Bible, you know, the very Word of God. And that shows the importance we place upon it in our very lives. And what it does not mean is that God dictated into the ears of the writers and they were nothing more than secretaries. It doesn't mean that. It means that those writers were a cast of very human beings who wrote the Bible, but who were no doubt full of the Holy Spirit and inspired by God. Matthew, when he records this particular story and his gospel, know that he was inspired by God and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wrote these divine words, these words that we read this morning, because he had witnessed with others what God had done in Jesus Christ. His book's truth was filled with deep spiritual T-R-U-T-H, truth, and nothing but the truth. And Presbyterians, indeed like most Christians, we take the Bible very seriously. Now, I should share with you that in the time Paul Means and I had over the last 2 weeks to meet with our new elders and deacons that you elected in January, I have to say to you that we spent a lot of time on the topic about the authority of the Bible and the importance that we are so glad we place, beloved, on the Bible at Northwood Presbyterian Church. We went on and on about it. It dominated at least two discussions that we had. We affirmed together how the confessions and the creeds of the church throughout the ages, how they too lift up the importance of who Jesus was, and usually right at the very beginning of the confessions, the authority of the Bible, and how the Scriptures are for all matters of life and faith. This is who we are as a church. It's our wellspring. And as we read the Bible, we do so always with Christ at the center. All ethics and all attitudes, even those we hold very dear, they're always to be judged by the closeness they are to Jesus. We are to look at all the scriptures through Jesus Christ. He is our true word. Secondly, remember that the Bible is not always for mere comfort. Sometimes it does comfort, especially when you walk a lonesome valley. And it comforts when comfort is what you need. But sometimes the word discomforts when discomfort is what you need. Nobody likes to be discomforted, but ironically, divine discomfort can really be a gift. You know, I heard some years ago that some of the best sermons aren't those that you hear. Some of the best sermons are those that you hear but go beyond you to your neighbor. My mother always said she always felt better when she left church on Sunday and she felt as if the preacher had stepped all over her toes. Oh well, sometimes divine discomfort can be a gift. And by that I mean it can goad us out of old habits. It can push us beyond easy assumptions. It can lift us up to enjoy deeper, richer, more fuller lives in Jesus Christ. Such a gift. I have learned, as many of you, that when the Bible discomforts, it may not be easy, but it can be a gift. And so here's the take-home for today. If it has to have a take-home, it's probably something like this. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and when you and I are tempted and we're trying to figure life out, Scripture becomes like a God-given window where ancient voices from the Scriptures come and speak to us like God's very word to us. Perhaps we can remember that when we come into this sanctuary every time and see that old stained glass window. It is a symbol that God speaks to us almost like through a window with ancient voices that are contained herein. Another metaphor, think of it as an anchor. The Scripture is like an anchor sunk deep into good holding ground so the ship doesn't go and crash into the rocks. Or how about like a deep root from a giant oak tree? I like this one. Sunk deep in the ground to meet the groundwater. Don't miss it. Don't miss the book, because if you miss the book, you may never hear the voice that speaks of love, the love of God to you. Don't miss it. And don't miss the challenging invitation that it has for you. This story. Tom Long, he's one of the finest preachers I've ever heard, and I think many pastors would say that. But he once told the tale, the true story, about when he was a teenager and he was in a high school play. It's a story about being tempted. Now, this play, he said, was being directed by a new teacher to Tom's high school. It was a young woman fresh out of college, and she was full of energy and full of enthusiasm, and she worked with those kids week after week, fitting costumes, showing them how to stand and to walk on the stage and when to be where they should be. And of course, she helped them to memorize their lines. That's always the challenge, isn't it? Her zeal was contagious. And by the time the opening night rolled around, the whole cast of those students, they believed in themselves. The opening night came. It was electric. The auditorium was filled. It was charged with anticipation. All went well in the first act. And then, in the middle of the second act, one of the lead players in the play forgot his line. It was obvious. The place fell silent. It was awkward. And that young teacher, where was she? she was right at the foot of the stage, whispering up to the student his line. Now, he either ignored it or he didn't hear it. But what he did was more awkward, at least maybe not at first, but later. He decided he would just make something up. And so he ad-libbed a line, and everyone was relieved. The silence had been broken, and people laughed. And the kid got a laugh out of it. And so when his turn came again, he made up another line. And again, everyone laughed, but not as loud. And finally, he did it. He made his line up a third time. A third time, he fabricated it. And this time, there was no sound in the auditorium. There was just a deep-felt embarrassment. And Tom Long remembers looking down at the foot of the stage where that young teacher was knelt down, and he said you could see the tears rolling down her face as the play began to come apart. And so look out. Look out in your life, because there is one who's roaming the earth who seeks to throw everything out of place. And he is forever tempting us to make up our own lines. Just make them up. Maybe for what we imagine is success, or maybe to make them up just to please the crowd. But we have our lines we can turn to if we listen to the ancient voice whispering to us. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your Lord. Love the Lord God with all your strength and all your heart and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be kind to one another. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. You shall not steal. Hold fast to that which is good. Help the suffering always. Honor all people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.